The first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 to 6. "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 2. "Remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him also you are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And by taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 44, the gospel lesson just read. The sermon title is, Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you think that most of the Bible is outmoded or irrelevant, you really can't say that about today's topic. Today's topic is one that you probably, maybe not in a Christian or biblical sense, but you think about this every day. For some of you, it consumes a lot of your waking moments. It may cause you stress, insomnia, and worry. You are at various times worried about how you will get it and whether you will have enough money and all it can buy now and in the future. Our topic today is what the Bible calls your daily bread. At the end of a long day, the disciples were worried about their daily bread. They were also worried about how to feed the crowds that had come out to hear Jesus in the wilderness. One definition of wilderness is a place where you can't get food, at least none of the normal types. If you ever get lost on a wilderness trail, I can tell you, because I go hiking and backpacking, there is edible food out there in the wilderness. Miner's lettuce, wild onions, earthworms, grubs, wild honey, certain types of berries, and grasshoppers. Well, this is the type of fare that John the Baptist survived on, but it doesn't really count as daily bread, and thank goodness for that. The disciples went out among the crowd to see what real food was out there. All they could find was one lad who had brought five barley rolls and two fish. Well, that was a good lunch for him, and he could have made a nice profit if he sold it to the hungry people. But it was hardly enough to feed 5,000 men, plus women and children, who are not mentioned in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus told the disciples that this was enough. He had the crowd sit down for dinner. He blessed the rolls and fish and distributed them. As the rolls and the fish were passed around, they kept multiplying until everybody had enough to eat and more. Jesus commanded the disciples to pick up the remnants, which they did, and it filled 12 baskets full of leftovers. There are many lessons that we can learn from this gospel today, and I can hardly cover them all in one sermon. One thing is that this gospel teaches us that Jesus could do amazing, wondrous miracles. But there are many other stories that teach that truth, so we should focus on what is special about this one. What is special in this story is that we see the heart of Jesus here. He cares. He cares for the poor and the hungry. So he does give them something to give them their daily bread. And when we see the heart of Jesus, we know that we see the heart of God that wants to give good gifts to his children, all of them. Let's look at what Martin Luther has to say on this topic. The Small Catechism explains the fourth petition in this way. I quote, Give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? To be sure, God provides daily bread, even to the wicked, without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that God may make us aware of his gifts and enable us to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. What is meant by daily bread? Everything required to satisfy our bodily needs, such as food and clothing, house and home, fields and flocks, money and property, a pious spouse and good children, trustworthy servants, godly and faithful rulers, good government, seasonable weather, peace and health, order and honor, true friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. End of quote from the Small Catechism. You may remember that from your catechism class. The first point here is that God provides. This is what theologians have called the teaching of divine providence. You see the word provide in there? Providence. Christians believe that ultimately, everything that we have and own has been given to them by God. God provides. I often hear wives say at funerals that their husbands were a good provider. God is the best provider, and he never leaves or dies. The second point is that God gives even to the wicked. God does not play favorites in the matter of providence. He does not give daily bread only to believers, that is, to his children. If that were the case, people would conclude that the rich are God's children because they are rich, and the poor are not God's children because they are poor. Lutheran doctrine teaches that God gives even to the wicked. In Matthew 5:45, Jesus said, quote, "Your Father in heaven makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." Providence is God's good gifts to all people around the world, whatever their status in society. The third point related to this is that God gives without our prayer. This is what Luther in other places calls the lightning bolt that destroys all human-made religion. Almost all religions have the idea that you need to pray to God or offer a sacrifice in order to receive good things for you and your loved ones and to have good things happen to you. The flip side of this, of course, is that if you don't pray or sacrifice, bad things will happen to you and your loved ones. Pagan and non-Christian religions conclude that if something bad happens to you, well, then you must not have prayed, or prayed enough, or given a sacrifice, or given enough of a sacrifice. Why would God give good things without our prayer and to the unjust and the wicked? It is because God is good in himself. That is his nature. He wants to give good gifts to all his creatures, just like a loving father or loving mother wants to give good gifts to all their children, whether or not any of them deserve those gifts. Now, this does not mean that God will always and forever give good gifts to all of his creatures. He has already withdrawn his good gifts from Satan and the demons. That should be a lesson for us. On Judgment Day, he will withdraw his good gifts from those people who reject his grace and who remain in unbelief. Well, if God gives us good gifts without our prayers, then why pray at all? Why attend worship services, which are essentially God's word, his sacraments, and prayer? Luther answers that we need to pray so that we might have the right attitude about God's gifts. We pray for daily bread so that, quote, God may make us aware of his gifts. See, we think that's supposed to be what's coming to us. Aware of his gifts, that it's all gift. And enable us to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. Asking God for our daily bread is, in modern terms, an attitude adjustment. It also prepares our hearts to be thankful. The short table prayers that you offer to God before meals are like those little short thank you notes that you write to your Aunt Ethel at Christmas or birthdays. The worship, praise, and thanks that you offer to God on Sunday are thank you letters for all of his good gifts and daily bread. Now, if God is so good and generous in matters of bodily need, how much better and generous is he in matters of spiritual need? Through his Son, Jesus Christ, God has earned for you and all mankind full and free salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and eternal life with him in heaven. Every time you receive the forgiveness of sins in the absolution and in the Lord's Supper, God wipes away all your sins and sees you as perfectly righteous for Jesus' sake. Forgiveness of sins does not mean partially forgiven. It means completely forgiven. Every time. God offers these spiritual gifts to all, even to the wicked, without their previous prayers to him for it. God offers to all, but not all accept that offer. God gives to you, the believer, faith, forgiveness of sins, and the Holy Spirit through baptism. God gives you forgiveness of sins in the absolution every Sunday. God gives you his word and the Holy Spirit through preaching, teaching, and reading the Bible. God gives you the true body and blood of his Son, his true and real presence, so that you have forgiveness of sins and are with Jesus always, even to the end of your life and thereafter in the hereafter. Jesus' feeding of the 5,000 is a picture of God's providence, both in matters of bodily and spiritual needs. Let us always thank him for his good gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.